Hey everyone, you're listening to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey Megan.
Hey Sarah, I'm really excited about today's episode.
Really excited. So we wanted to pop in and let you know what you're about to hear. And that is the show we recorded live in Newport Beach, California on August 23rd at the New Mom School. Megan, this was such a fun event, don't you think?
It was so fun. And it was really cool to see all these moms come out from different backgrounds who didn't know each other and get together and talk. And we had a really good time and we got some really great audience participation. So it's going to be a little different than the usual episode because it's live and you're going to hear background and people clapping and laughing and really, really fun.
Yes. I wanted to say, if this is the very first episode you've ever caught of ours, might want to check out a regular one in our podcast feed, but do stick around for this because it was really fun. You will hear that live audience laughing and clapping and we had a great time.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
That was awesome.
It's like being on Oprah.
So we are live. We're recording this live, you guys listening out there. We're here in Orange County at the wonderful New Mom School, and we have a live audience, and they are ready to hear
us. They're ready to record this episode. Okay. And I'm really excited because today I get to drive the bus.
Yes.
And usually that's Sarah's job. Sarah usually is the one who mans the outline and keeps me on track. And I'm not saying I'm going to actually have an outline. I don't have an outline. I'm not saying I'm going to keep you on track either, but I'm going to kind of set up the topic and I'm going to let you take it from there. So Sarah actually came up with the idea for this entire thing and did all the details as well. So big pat on the back for Sarah. But she also came up with a topic, which we thought was great for our location, which is the New Mom School in Newport Beach. Mm-hmm. So this is a place where moms come together to support each other and learn and all these great things. And we started talking about what kind of support we got as new moms, some of which was really helpful and some of which was sort of cliche and maybe not that helpful. And so really what was helpful to us when we were new moms, what's helpful to other new moms, how can you help a new mom? And I think that is actually the name of the, like ways to help a new mom.
Yeah, what new moms really need and how to know.
So you have a personal story.
Yeah. I actually wrote a blog post years ago, back when we used to write more.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first ones I wrote for your blog that really took off.
Yep.
And so, thank you. And it's called Five Unexpected Ways to Help a New Mom. And I'm actually going to read the beginning, but it's a sad little story about my postpartum self in the early days, but maybe you can relate. So, okay. It was about 10 days after the birth of my first baby. My husband was back at work, the visiting family had gone home, and my mom, who lives close by, still checked in often but had resumed her normal schedule and commitments. In other words, I was on my own. I was on my own, but I wasn't alone in the house. As a gift, my parents had arranged for a cleaning service to come for the day, just to help get the house back to semi-normal as we adjusted to life with a newborn. Sounds wonderful, right? Generous, thoughtful, and just what a new mom should want. But as the housekeeper scrubbed my kitchen counters and unstuck pots and pans from a week-old Jenga puzzle in the sink, I sat on my bed at the other end of the house, holding my daughter and having a quiet panic attack. Like most hormonal, emotional breakdowns viewed from a distance, this one doesn't make much sense now, but I'll do my best to put into words what I was feeling. It went something like this. I'm hungry, but I can't go make myself breakfast because there's a stranger in my kitchen. And I can't face the stranger because I'm not wearing a bra. And I'm not wearing a bra because I haven't showered. And I can't shower because I don't know what you're supposed to do with a baby when you shower. What if she cries? What will the stranger think? I'm hungry. So I sat there and cried and nursed my baby in my pajamas, starving until my mom happened to drop in. What she did then, I'll never forget because it was exactly what I needed. She listened to my irrational story about how I didn't want to go make a piece of toast in my own kitchen. And then, without judgment or comment, she left the room and gently let the housekeeper know I wasn't feeling well and that we'd need to reschedule the cleaning service for another day. So that story just kind of, I think, sets up something that I think is universal to new moms, and that is we don't always know what we need, and you can't ask for help if you don't know what you need, and you can't know what you need if you don't slow down enough to sort of ask yourself what would help me in this moment, not like what's supposed to help me and what helped my friend down the street, right, and what is the magazine say supposed to help me. So I'm not going to read more from the post, but we are going to use this post, I think, to offer a few tips. And these were just my tips at the time. When I wrote this, I was pregnant with my third. So I think I was thinking about the, like, that postpartum period again, which did get a little less insane every time. But so, yeah, should we go through the tips? And I sure think you will have definitely your own to add as well, having five postpartum.
Although it's been a while now. It's
under since my, I was under new. Your belt. That's true. Okay. So tip number one, I sort of laughed about casseroles earlier, but tip number one, if you are going to help a new mom, is to think beyond and between dinner. So one of my, I joked that I can't even pull off dinner for my own family most nights. So I just am not, whenever that meal train, like the email gets sent around, I just like cringe. And I just like, but now there's a lot, now you can like sign up to like send dinner from like another place.
Oh, that's nice.
But this is a few years ago. So, yeah. What I love to do for a new mom is go to like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or your favorite healthy store and fill a bag with healthy snacks. If there's older siblings, like fresh fruit, bananas, granola bars, you know how hungry you are when you're nursing, or I was so hungry when I was nursing. Starving. So just stuff for the pantry, stuff that lasts, treats, chocolates, but also healthy stuff. So that was one of my favorite things, and I still do that for new moms if I can. And then you're just dropping off like a bag of groceries, but it's stuff that they can dig in whenever they want. And also, like, as the not new mom, I don't feel guilty about not bringing someone dinner.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's just not, it's not my strength, so I'm going to let the really good cooks.
Well, and I think that the casserole train has a reason it's existed forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes that also feels like pressure. I know that I had a time where my freezer was full of other people's food that I didn't know that I wanted to eat anyway, but I had to eat it so I could give them their dang dish back, which, by the way, I was going to have to wash. And at that point, I was like not going to do anything, like nothing involving a glass dish. I was going to do things that just involved maybe like an aluminum thing that I could throw away or just take out. And another time I had someone who very well-meaning brought me dinner, and I think I had like maybe a two-week-old and a toddler. And they brought dinner, but then proceeded to serve it to my husband and I. And then we had to like sit there and eat it, you know, like while she was there. And I just remember thinking, like, I love the idea. It's such, so well-meaning, but I want to eat on my own terms, especially right now. And I don't want anyone watching me or overseeing me or in any way. So I just think being really mindful of letting people have, like letting people dictate the terms of their gift.
And I do think
it's really important.
I do think technology has helped with this. Like, okay, I'm sure you guys know, like now if you, I'm blanking out, what's the main one? You guys are all here, I can ask you. Like meal train. Yeah, well, DoorDash is for ordering, but like if you wanted all your neighbors to bring a neighbor a meal.
Next door.
Is that meal train? Okay, it is meal train. So they do have it now where you can set your preferences and all of that. But I want to say a couple more things about food delivery, because it is well-meaning. It totally can be helpful.
Right.
So we're not knocking it. I think I'm just suggesting to not limit it to that just dinner and just for the first 2 weeks. Lunches are great. I remember when I was a brand new mom, I was home from a corporate job, and I loved when my coworkers would pick up lunch and bring it. And actually, in that case, I did like them sitting with me and having lunch, because it was company. But they would just pick up sandwiches or something. So lunch, and then all the snacks. And also, it is nice to have some help with dinner, like 3 months after you have a baby.
Yes. You know?
So it doesn't all have to be in that first couple weeks. Okay. Should we move on to my next tip?
Okay. Sure.
I still do this with anyone, not just new moms. But this is, I wrote here, I'm at Target, what do you need?
Yes.
And this is a difference between how can I help you? Like, how can I help? Which is such a really sweet but very open-ended question. And if you remember what it's like to be a new mom, you don't even know, like, which end is up.
Right.
Let alone do you want to put someone in the position of trying to help you. So I got real used to just letting my new mom friends know where I was or where I was going. Can I pick your 4-year-old up and take him to the library with me? I'm at Target right now. What do you need? And I find that new moms will actually respond to that.
Yeah,
because it's
absolutely
much more specific. It's like, oh yeah, I'm out of coffee or whatever.
Yes, yeah. And so, and think what a big deal it is to run out for bread or diapers or something when, you know, you've got a newborn. That's a big deal. And it's nothing
no,
for you.
So
you're already there.
Yes.
So it's no big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I don't know. We might want a little show of hands on this one. But I think it's very, new moms are very different whether they want time alone away from people or want company. And I'm talking now like the very first week or two. I'm actually more introverted, I would say, but I craved company. I craved other adults to come talk to me. And I don't think I would have known that or known to identify that. So I guess the next tip is to know thyself. And then also, if you're the one helping, be sensitive to that in other moms. Don't be offended if someone doesn't want you to come over and hang out for a long time. Read the signals if you come to meet the baby and they're like kind of over it.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Yeah.
But also the flip side, I think it came to, as a surprise to me that I really wanted just someone to come over and hang out with me and talk to me. They didn't have to like my baby. They didn't have to bring me food.
Yeah.
Like they just, I just wanted company. So how are you in that?
Oh, well, I was, it depended from day to day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I just wanted to hide in my bedroom and sometimes, I remember one thing I really loved is when a fellow mom would come and pick me up and the baby and take us someplace together. Nice. And I remember what a comfort it was to all go in one car somewhere together.
Yeah.
And now it's so silly. Like my friends and I, we just take our own cars. We don't.
But it's overwhelming.
But it, when I remember like how good it felt for someone else to take the car seat and deal with that. And to maybe, I mean, if I had another kid at the same time, a toddler or something, deal with that whole rigmarole because that's your life. Like all you do is buckle and unbuckle for years. It's all you do. So it was just like having that little thing take off, like, taken off my plate and still getting to go someplace and not have to deal with that.
Well,
at all.
And I think one of the things we run into is we're all trained that it's not polite to invite yourself over to someone's house, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a new mom situation might be different. It's hard for new moms to get out of the house.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to say, would you like me to come over? It doesn't matter what the house looks like.
Yeah.
Can I help? Can I sit and fold your laundry with you?
Yeah.
Because if we don't take it to that place and ask on either end, the helper or the one being helped, then there's somebody maybe crying alone in their bed.
Yeah. And sometimes it can be like, I will come pick you up. And you don't even, I don't even have to come in.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
You know, like I can stay for a short time or longer, but I'm coming. So I'm curious. So show of hands, if you had to pick one side, were you a new mom who really wanted everyone to leave you alone until you figured your you-know-what out? Or did you crave company? Pick one. Let's see show of hands for wanting to be by yourself. Okay. And then show of hands for wanting company.
So slightly more wanted company, but a pretty equal
like
representation.
60-40.
Yeah, 60-40.
And like I said, I'm an introvert, but I wanted other adults. It was something about being able to just, I don't know, it was a clinging to sanity. So,
Well, and I guess the problem with that is not knowing then which place they fall or where they are today. And maybe just having a pact. I think if you said to your friends, like, I need you to be really honest with me, it might be easier to do this in a text. Like, are you up for this today? Yeah. You know, sad face emoji for no.
Yeah.
And like the grinning, like the one that kind of looks like he's grimacing.
Yeah.
For maybe, I don't know. Convince me, you know, so.
Well, I honestly feel like too many decisions are hard on new moms.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? Like, it is hard to make decisions, whether it's like a social plan or like what you're going to do that day, how you're going to get out of the house. So I don't know. I'm not advocating ambushing a new mom and just showing up unannounced, but I think we know our friends, right? Like, you know your friends or your sisters or your, you know, your people. And I do feel like as someone who craved company and probably didn't know how to ask for it, like there were people who could have just shown up and I would have been pretty happy about it, I think. So, yeah. All right. Okay, so this is a fun one. My next tip is to help a new mom capture the moment with the baby in a photograph. Whether or not you take good pictures or are all over Instagram, we all know, like, you end up with very few pictures, very few. And Megan is almost 20 years into motherhood with her first. And how many pictures do you have of you and Jacob as a newborn? I mean,
well, there weren't any digital cameras yet.
Yeah,
so it's all film. So I had a lot for a short period of time.
But with you in them?
Oh, no, none with me.
Right.
No.
Right. That's, yeah. So new moms might not want their photo taken.
Yeah.
And I almost think we should do it anyway. Not post it on the internet, but if you have an opportunity to take a photo of the baby or of mom and the baby, and I
take like 100, then go home and find the most flattering one and then put a filter on it and then send it to her.
And then, yeah, and still it's up to her whether anything happens to it. But I actually love if there's, or even, I've even done this where maybe the new mom has posted a photo, and not just with her, maybe it's just of the baby on social media. I've had it printed and framed, even if it's their photo. Yeah. There's just, it's always on your list when you're a new mom. You want pictures of the new baby up. I think now with social media, a lot of us go out and have the nice pictures taken, but to help somebody by taking the extra step to have a photo printed and framed, or just print it, just like, I mean, nobody prints photos anymore. I do, because I'm crazy, but
no, and no one will ever have it framed. That's the that's the step. I will have it printed, but if someone, even now, like if someone just had something framed for me, I would be so appreciative, because that's the step I don't ever get to.
If you guys found out that there was a photo of you with your newborn out there and you got a copy of it, wouldn't that make you feel good? No matter what you looked like you can't. So be the person that takes that photo, and just, you know, keep it for a rainy day if you think that new mom is sensitive to not wanting to see herself in pictures. Yeah. Everybody's different, but I think capturing those moments is something so easy that you can do that is just really sweet.
Yes.
And I definitely, the printing side, I have had pictures printed either that I've taken or that they've taken and framed. And then it's just one less thing they have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay, so my next tip is to, I don't know, this feels almost dated, but this is to give the gift of light reading. I loved trashy magazines when I could not string two thoughts together. Like, on the one hand, you're so tired and you're really overwhelmed, but the other hand, you're just sitting around a lot of the time. Yeah. And maybe when you were pregnant, you thought you would read, like, some really intelligent, thoughtful book, or, like, a parenting book, but you don't really have the capacity.
No,
in there.
You don't have the brain
power. I love showing up with magazines or
Us Weekly. Yeah.
And that will never go unappreciated.
No, but I think you're right. That's how I learned about who the Kardashians were. I kind of fell out of pop culture. I mean, I've been kind of in and out, but I really kind of fell out off the face of the earth for a long time. And it was when did the Kardashians get big? Like 15 years ago? 10 years ago? I don't know. It was around that time I had a baby. Who knows which one it was? And someone gave me a stack of magazines. I was like, who are these people? What? This is crazy. Where have I been? And that, I think, was when the OC was big. Remember that one? Yeah. So I learned about all those people, and then I felt like relevant for about a minute. It was great.
No, I almost feel like the present day equivalent of this could also be great podcasts. Like, what kind of media could you introduce to a new mom?
Oh, nice. I like
her?
That. Yeah. Like, I like what you did there.
It's not just self-promotion. No, like, I'm thinking, like, juicy, like, I don't know, like cereal or like, like something that's separate from motherhood and parenting. Just something to pass the time when you're not sleeping, when you're nursing. I mean, a juicy novel, like anything that does not take brain cells to read. I don't think people are thinking of that necessarily as a gift for new mom. I think it's a great gift for new mom.
So along those lines, something that is such a little stupid thing, but that I would have personally loved, when I was, I remember this very clearly, and it was with my third, and I hadn't had a good cable package for a long time, and then I decided to go ahead and sign up for a good cable package because I was going to have this new baby, and I was going to lay around a bunch watching TV. And then I realized I had no idea how to turn my TV on because there was all these inputs, and I couldn't figure out how to get the sound. So I'm holding a nursing baby on the couch, and then I was like, I have to go over to the TV and I have to hit something, and then I go sit back down and get myself all arranged. I was like, then I need that other remote, and where is the other remote? So having someone come by and like turn my TV on for me and just show me how to do it, or just like, I don't know, watch with me so I didn't have to do all the setup, would have been really nice.
Yeah, or like get you into a really good Netflix series, a really trashy reality series to watch together. I think it's a time when like your brain is mush on the one hand, but you have a lot of hours to pass. And I do think now, even more than 5 years ago when I wrote this, like streaming media is readily available. But again, it comes back to like, it's so hard to make decisions when you're in that fog.
Yes.
So the gift of like, I made you a playlist on Spotify.
Right.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I queued up, give me your phone, I'm going to queue up some great podcasts for you, or I brought you trashy novels or whatever. So I think that can be a fun gift. So those were my kind of my top five, like, outside the box. Do you, is any more come to mind for you? You just visited a friend with a new baby, didn't you?
I did. I just went there and held her baby for a day and a half.
That was probably a gift.
Yeah.
Did she ask you for advice? Was it her first?
It's her first. Okay. Yeah. Yes. And it was kind of funny, like, the advice she asked for, because you forget. You forget that you ever didn't know something, and then it would come up, and I'm like, oh, that's so, like, really cute. I mean, and then you can kind of, and I didn't say that, but I did just kind of reassure her. And I think sometimes it's nice to also have that friend. And this is something that, as moms, the gift that we can give is to have things just be easy. Like, baby pooped, whatever, I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm not going to ask you everything else. I'm just going to figure it out, so you don't have to feel awkward that I'm, you know, going to change, like, I have to do it all. Just take care of it. Just do it. They don't want to have to ask you, but it's that little relief off. And I think she just having an extra pair of arms in the house for a day and a half was nice. And things that, you know, she, it was kind of funny as well. The baby had its first fever while I was there, and, you know, so, like, they didn't really know what to do, and I was like, okay, well, here's what I would do. And, you know, they called the after hours doctor, but then they ended up doing exactly what I told them to anyway, which was fine. It didn't go against doctor's orders or anything like that, but it was just, I think, just having someone around who's been there is, like, reassuring, even if you don't do anything at all, but just be there and don't freak out. And, like, being the only person in the house kind of going, oh yeah, this is what happens. Yeah. Not a big deal. You're probably going to see this. And, you know, it, that was nice.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of those experienced moms. I had a few friends have babies like 6 months before I did.
Yeah.
So in my mind, they were pros.
Right.
But I didn't have a lot of that. And I think, it's a huge gift if you do. Just have people to normalize it.
You know? And to before I said anything, I would just preface it with, like, you guys don't have to listen to anything I say. You have this. But just FYI, I always noticed, because they were worried because the baby had not pooped in like 3 days. And I said, well, you know, it's like 5 months old now. And so this is kind of when they start regulating sometimes, and that might happen. But if you think there's something wrong, that's, you guys know them better than me. But just so you know, that happened with my kids. And I think they're like, oh, because you don't always read that stuff.
No.
And there's a lot of, you know, what my friend Elena was saying is there's so much fear. Like, there's, the internet now has jacked everything up as far as intensity level goes, and possible rabbit holes to fall down, and then
so many
scary stories that are out there, and opinions. There's, everyone has so many opinions, and that's one thing I feel really grateful that I didn't have access to was that many opinions as a new mom, because that's really overwhelming. I find political opinions really overwhelming, so I can only imagine if it was opinions about child.
That's really good, I think, context to think about today's brand new moms, because maybe a way to help a new mom is to just be that friend that says, I'm not going to judge. I'm here if you have questions. I've been through it a couple times, but you are doing a great job, and you have great instincts, and you don't need me, and you don't need the internet, but I'm here if you have questions.
Right.
I sort of became by default like this C-section question source, because I had 3 scheduled C-sections, which is pretty unusual. And so whenever anybody would find out they were having a C-section, they would come to me and I would tell them my experience. And so it feels good to be able to share that experience if you can do it in a way that also empowers a new mom to trust her own instincts and isn't directive. I think that's what we try and do on this show. I know that's what Alex does here at the New Mom School. Then that's, I think, the perfect balance of having access to experienced moms without feeling like you're being sort of handed down.
Absolutely. And on the other side, I had 4 of my babies out of hospital, 2 in a birth center and 2 at home, and they were all smooth and easy births and went fine. And I felt like I got really good at prefacing anytime I started that story for anyone with, I was lucky. I had a really easy time. Like, I just did. And that was just my experience. And it has nothing to do with anything that you do. Like, and I think that sometimes there's like this automatic, if someone talks about their experience, it's so natural as a new mom to be like, well, that's not how I did it. Do I need to be defensive, or do I need to explain why I didn't do it that way? Or are they feeling defensive because I do things differently? And I think the quicker you can just eliminate that from the conversation at all, like, we're all, you know, no one here is defensive. There is no better than. It's just this is how it happened with me, and we can sit here and swap stories.
Imagine
and
if
my story
all,
and your story are equally valid, and
everyone
great.
In motherhood was like that. Wouldn't that be nice?
It just takes a while sometimes.
Well, we're gonna wrap up like this first segment in a minute. I think I'm really excited because I am finally coming out. My youngest is 4 and a half. And I, let's see, February of this year, I went to be like the helper, like the friend who came to help a new mom. So I had kids a little before a lot of my friends, but then my friends started having babies and I was still kind of in the thick of it. So I wasn't very helpful. And now I really do feel like I can hop on a plane and go sit and, like you did, hold your baby. My little sister's having her first in October. And it's easy. It's not easy. My husband's back there. It's not easy to leave him with three kids, but it's easier.
It's doable.
It's doable. And I don't feel like I'm bringing like toddler germs. Like no one has hand, foot, and mouth anymore. You know, like I don't feel like I'm like, I don't want to come into your house. So yeah, I got to do that last February and it was really fun. It was for them. It was a second baby. It was Allison. And, they were doing great. They didn't need that much help, but it is a fun, I don't know where all of you guys are in motherhood, but if you're out of it, out of the new mom phase completely, it's actually, I think, kind of fun
to
then
totally fun.
Be the one who helps.
Yeah, like, I totally agree.
So, okay, so we are listeners at home. We're going to take a quick little break for one of our sponsors. Listeners in the room, stick with us as well, and we'll get back to this topic in just a bit.
Hey guys, it's Megan and Sarah here popping in to remind you about one of our partners. And this is such a great sponsor to talk about since we're talking all about helping out new moms.
Yeah, it's a perfect fit.
It's a perfect fit. So that is Covered Goods. They make nursing covers that also double as a car seat cover, a cute scarf, and even one of those shopping cart liners so your baby doesn't touch the gross shopping cart handle.
Can we just really quickly say that they are adorable?
They are like, pretty. You and I kind of want one, even though we haven't nursed a baby in many years.
Many years, yes.
I just got one for my sister. She just had her baby shower. So talking about helping out a new mom, I seriously would buy up a bunch of these and just have them for baby shower or new baby gifts.
Just like have them on hand to hand out.
Have them on hand. They're so, yes, just
here, you look
about.
Uncomfortable. Take this. Yes.
So coveredgoods.com is where you pick one up and use the promo code The Mom Hour to save 10%. And yeah, great partner of ours, and what a great gift for a new mom. So
it really is.
Go check them out. Megan, let's let everybody know kind of what they're going to hear next. The second part of the show was much more interactive.
I think we need to give a shout out to our
editor, Johnny, who's, you know, putting all of
this
together.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah.
But this is where things got really fun for me. I mean, they were fun the whole time, but this is where, like, really people started getting up and talking. And we had Alex from the New Mom School, who is the owner.
Yes. And you're going to hear her pretty much right away after we stop chatting here. And Alex gave such a great story and kind of testimonial about her own new mom days and what inspired her to found the New Mom School. And then you're going to hear several actual moms from our audience get up and talk on the mic about what helped them or what they wish they would have known as new moms, including Ashley from the Coffee and Crumbs podcast. You guys, many of you may be familiar with her, if that sounds like
a familiar
voice.
And she's our new friend.
She's totally our new friend. We love the ladies from Coffee and Crumbs. And it was so nice of them to come out to our live event. So
it really was.
Yeah.
We pulled some tips from our Facebook community as well, which was great.
Absolutely. So thanks to those of you who wrote in when we posted this on Facebook. I wanted to say too, we're going to link up that Facebook thread and a bunch of other stuff in the show notes. The show notes for this episode, which will always be at themomhour.com, are going to be fun. I'm going to put some pictures of the event, maybe a couple bonus videos. So if you're not used to heading over and checking out the show notes, you might want to for this particular episode because it'll just be a fun recap of the whole event.
Yep, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so before we get back to it, I want to bring up Alex real quick. So Alex owns the New Mom School.
Yay!
And I'm putting her on the spot. So we were talking about how I've figured out who she was. I know.
Love it.
And I told her I think she's a really good marketer because I think I knew who she was from like Facebook ads, honestly. So I think she's a really smart businesswoman. We like connected and like clicked immediately on just how we like to help moms in a way that's not judgmental, not pushy. So we had so much to talk about our own kids and like schools locally. So I just feel really grateful to have a new friend. But I would love for you to just tell everybody a little bit more about what you do here, how that relates to new moms, and maybe they know somebody who could check out one of your classes.
Sure. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our space. I see some familiar faces from our classes, and we have a photographer who comes to all of our classes as a little gift to all of our moms, and so even though I don't teach all of our classes, I get to see all the moms that come through the program, and the faces of all the beautiful moms and babies are just such a joy to my heart. We have one of our instructors here tonight, Joe Martindale, who's a the benefit of being in Joe's class is that she's a sleep expert and has a behavioral background, so she gets to help with the behaviors of the sleep problems and challenges. So these moms get like a lot more free sleep advice than they get in my classes. But anyway, when I had my first, I have two boys that are 3 and 6. And when I had my first son, I sort of went into it feeling like, I got this. I am meant to be a mom. This little guy is going to be my little accessory. I'm just going to dress him up in cute little clothes, and he's going to come along everywhere with me, and I'm going to look really cute doing it. And my husband and I are going to be just as happy as we were before we had our baby, and we're going to have just as much sex, and everything's going to be just perfect and lovely. And oh my God, that was not the reality. The reality was that we were really shocked by this tornado that hit our family, and we disconnected in a way that was really unexpected. And I had a lot of guilt and shame because I had this new baby that I was supposed to just love with all my heart, and I was going to love every moment of being a mom. And I wasn't loving it, and I felt really embarrassed about that, and I didn't feel like I could share that with anyone, especially my husband, who now, you know, we just weren't really on the same team at this point. And so things got pretty dark, and I joined a local Mommy and Me class. I was living in LA at the time, and I never expected that the moms in this class of mine would become my lifeline and really change my experience as a new mom. And so fast forward about a year and a half later, when we moved to Orange County, my husband got relocated for his job, and I looked for a support Mommy and Me class for me and my son. And what I found was a lot of activity-based classes for toddlers, but no parenting classes, no support for moms. And then I discovered that not only was there no support for moms of toddlers, there was no support for moms of newborns, which I thought was just atrocious, really, in such an affluent community. So I overnight just decided this was my calling and this is what I was going to do. And I called it OC Mommy and Me at the time. And about a year ago, we became the new mom school because I needed a name that really defined what the program had become, which is really a school for new moms. And we are now about 4.5 years in. We've had over 1,700 moms in our classes. And we run 10 classes a week with about 14 moms in each class. And I stay connected to a lot of these moms over social media. And I see so many of these moms staying connected with the moms that were in their classes for years and, you know, years beyond. A lot of the kids are getting ready to start their last preschool year. They're going to be going to kindergarten soon. And it's just such a joy. And to be connected with you two and to see that, you know, I sort of have removed myself from a lot of social media groups because I can't stand the mom shaming and the judging and the I'm better than you because I feed my kid kale every night. And I'm like you. Me and the kitchen are not friends. And if someone wants to send me dinners every night, I would gladly take them. But, you know, my kids eat mac and cheese and chicken nuggets most nights. So, and I'm totally fine with that because because that's what I ate and I turned out fine, and I actually do like kale now. I just I just buy it from a restaurant and I don't massage it myself. So that's where I am. I'm really happy to have you all here.
Can you share the your website so that we can get it on the
Absolutely. Recording? We are newmomschool.com.
Thank you for hosting us. This would not have happened if we had not found a space. We wouldn't have done it. And I was like, I wasn't even going to look that hard because right. This was like a kind of a a fluky idea. So this is Kim. Kim, tell us how old your kids are now and what helped you as a new mom.
Okay, so I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. They're 2 years and 2 days apart from each other. So when I had my first child, it was before I knew about the new mom school. So I was 3 weeks into motherhood. I don't have family around. So I had a friend of mine who had a baby 30 minutes after mine, which was great because she actually had a completely different outlook on motherhood. And she was just so graceful. And she took her child, actually, I don't know if you'll edit this out, but she took her child to a bar 3 days after having her baby. So she was definitely the opposite of me. I was kind of hunkered down in the house. I was struggling with getting out. I was definitely in the beginning stages of postpartum depression, which I didn't even realize I had. But she was awesome because, to your point, I needed someone to like push me to do something. And I also needed someone to just shove themselves in front of my face. And so that's what she did. She came down from LA. I live in Orange County. And she just came to my house and she said, "We're going to get out and you're going to learn how to use the wraps that have like 7 contraptions on them and the ergo baby that I was uncomfortable using because every time I tried, he was crying." And she was just great. And we ended up going for a walk. And honestly, I needed that because that was like the first steps to getting out of the house and just getting a little bit of fresh air. So that was huge. Yeah.
Thank you, Kim.
That was great.
Yeah, I feel like if you have knowledge, like that really tactical knowledge, how to put on a Moby wrap or an ergo. I mean, talk about stuff that's hard when you're all foggy and fuzzy. Like that is like level 5 difficulty.
Someone taught me how to nurse laying down. I forgot about that till this very minute. And that was like the learning how to nurse laying down may have saved my life.
Or like,
it's what allowed me to have 5 children, people. It never would have happened otherwise.
Or like setting up the baby monitor, get the feed correctly. Yes. Like, you know, all of those little things. Like, yeah, if you have skills in those areas. So I loved that. Like teaching you how to use what, because those baby carriers also, it's hard to practice when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
My sister sent me a picture trying to practice.
Have a baby.
No, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like you have a belly.
You have a belly, but
and you don't have a baby.
Right.
And I think my sister put in like a bottle of wine or something. Like she. Okay. I'm going to read one from, will you hold this?
Yeah.
I'm going to read one from Facebook real quick and then we'll have another audience member. Okay. So this one came in on Facebook today from Megan Horan. And she says, "It would have been a tremendous help to me if I had had better information about what happens to your body and how to take care of yourself once baby arrives." Yes. Raise your hand if you had no idea what was going to happen postpartum. Because no one, maybe they try to tell you, but
raise your hand if someone said, "Oh, the bleeding will taper off after a week." And you were like, "Okay." And then, you know, you found out the truth the hard way. You're like, "Wait, this is not how it works."
She goes on to say, "When there's physical healing that needs attention on top of a new baby, new routine, and new normal, it's overwhelming and scary and hard to figure out." So that is, I think, such an important one that
really
needs
is.
To be said. And it may be, I feel like when I was pregnant, I probably wouldn't have even listened if someone had tried to warn me about postpartum
symptoms.
You didn't
care about that stuff, Karen. You're like, you're so focused on the baby, you weren't thinking about yourself,
and
really.
Then, yeah, and then when the baby comes, sometimes you're still so focused on baby. So if that's, if you have a closeness and can help somebody really understand what's happening or what to expect, or if they're worried. I had terrible, we've talked on the podcast, actually, we did a whole episode on postpartum that we can link up in the show notes, but I had chills at night, which is less common. Heat, like hot flashes and temperature fluctuations are pretty normal, but chills are less common until you start telling people you had night chills, and then people are all come out of the woodwork. So if you can be that person to be like, tell me your symptoms, it's okay, it's probably normal.
For me, it was like terribly painful gas, which, hello, also, why do I have all the embarrassing ones? You were just like chilly.
I was just cold.
But seriously, no one told me that I would be doubled over in pain and it would be gas. And, you know, thought I had something seriously wrong with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
if you can be that friend and be real honest with, you know, if someone's willing to listen, what
you can also send them a link to the podcast that we did on postpartum symptoms. Not to plug it, but I just plugged it. I don't remember what episode number it is.
Side story, funny, was the first one Johnny ever edited for us.
That's right.
So we had like a new sound editor, like give him this like hour and 20 minute long audio file of us talking about like
leaking
every bodily function.
Yes.
He doesn't have kids or
Oh well.
He's still
sorry, Johnny.
Believe it or not. Hashtag sorry, Johnny. Okay. Ashley, do you want?
My name is Ashley. I have a 5-year-old and an almost 3-year-old, and I'm going to piggyback on the idea of bringing things that aren't just dinner. I joined a MOPS group right after I had, or right before I had my second baby. So I was super pregnant when I joined, and right after I had him, all the moms from MOPS brought us meals, which was so generous. And if you're not in MOPS, the MOPS moms bring the best dinners, so you should sign up just for that. And this one mom brought over a meal, and she brought it over early in the morning at like 10 a.m. because that's just what worked best with her schedule, and she had already prepared the meal. And along with the dinner, she brought over a whole loaf of bread, like fresh from the bakery, hot. She literally placed it in my hands like a hot loaf of bread. And she also brought me frozen lactation cookie dough balls that you can, like, you know, make every day. And I had a premature baby. He was born a month early. I ended up having some milk supply issues, and I was constantly trying to help him gain weight. So that was actually really useful to me to have those lactation cookies. I had never heard of lactation cookies before, and I ended up really, really needing them. And I made that recipe like 100 times that she gave me. And the hot loaf of bread I took into my house at 10 a.m. in the morning, and I sliced it up and I slathered it in Nutella, and I like inhaled it at 10 a.m. and it was so good. So if you are going to bring a meal to a good mom, you should just pick up a loaf of bread and make some lactation cookies to go along with it.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm reading through these Facebook comments, and listeners out there, we'll link this up in the show notes, but several people in this Facebook thread mentioned wishing, because the way I worded the question is, what do you wish you had asked for? What help do you know now that you needed then? And like 4 different people talked about needing an expert of some kind. A couple of people mentioned a therapist, a couple of people mentioned a sleep expert, and a couple people mentioned either a postpartum doula or like a night nurse. And I think knowing what we all know now, that is so valuable. It is, I mean, talk about it being hard to ask for help just from your friends to bring over some lactation cookies,
right?
But knowing that you might need help from an outside expert and waiting too long to figure that out is always going to be painful. So maybe as friends, it's as simple as normalizing that for new moms.
Yes.
How common it is to need a sleep coach or to this idea of a postpartum doula. Catherine, my friend Catherine was here and she had to head out, but she shared with me, and I think she's on this Facebook thread too, that she had a postpartum doula just a couple days a week with her second. And it doesn't have to be, so I don't know, you know more about doulaing than I do, but somebody to come who's really well-trained in baby care and maternal
postpartum
care.
They're there to support you. And
they just will hold and rock the baby. If you have, she had an older sibling at the time or an older child at the time. If you want to spend a little one-on-one time with the older child, somebody to hold the baby. It doesn't have to be for the elite and the, you know, in
it can
other
be very reasonable, actually.
Yeah, in other cultures and in other countries, help is built into the system for whether it's the family, the system, the healthcare system. So
I have to say, it really, one thing I think that we suffer from is like we think, We like to wax nostalgic about this idea that we should be able to do it all because our grandmothers did it all and their grandmothers did it all. But we live in a very different world than our mothers and grandmas and great grandmas did. It's not the same, and we can't play by the same rules as everybody else did. And maybe they would have liked to have some therapists as well and other kinds of experts. You know, we don't necessarily have an extended family that we can call on that lives within a block of us. We just don't have that, so we have to create that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so there's no, I think there's a shame in it, but there should not be. And normalizing it for each other is the first step.
Yeah.
Because if everybody seems like everyone's doing it, if that's like the facade that we put on, that we're all taking care of everything ourselves, then it makes it so much harder for anybody else to admit that they can't, because nobody can.
Right. That's so true. Well, I'll just share, like, I ended up in a group like the ones Alex runs through the hospital where I had my first baby, but I kind of resisted it at first. Like, I really felt like I'm going to keep my old friends. Like, I don't need new friends. I really had this chip on my shoulder. Like, I have a new baby. I don't need new friends. Like, I already have friends. And so I kind of resisted the idea of a support group. I was doing okay with breastfeeding, so I didn't need the lactation support necessarily, but it was Arizona in the middle of the summer, which is like Michigan in the middle of the winter. So there's just not, you just really can't go anywhere. Yeah. And so I kind of finally broke and went, and like a million other stories that Alex sees every day, you know, I met people in that class, and they, and those classes I think can be a really good way to then get access to lactation consultants or sleep trainers or, you know, other sorts of experts. But we often come out stubbornly, you know, insistent on not needing those experts. So I just, that was something I noticed in the Facebook thread, that like four or five different people and the common thread was wishing they had found that help sooner or asked for it sooner, and how, what a, you know, what a huge relief it was when it came, whatever that looked like. So, okay, let's get somebody else up here.
I'm Joelle, and I have a 2.5-year-old little girl. And what my friend did for me, the details are a little blurry because it was the day after we brought her home from the hospital. And I think she texted and said, "How are you?" And I was like, "Oh, we just came home." And so she called me and she was like, "How was it?" And I was like, "Ah, what are we supposed to do?" And she was like, "You're feeling like a horrible parent right now, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know. We're like, she's crying. We don't know what to do." You know, just the whole thing. So she still to this day texts me every now and then, "You are enough and you're doing a great job." You know, so I think it's just even hearing that, you know,
that's it.
That's great. Yeah. And it's so simple.
Like anybody could do that. You could do that right now for somebody.
And absolutely.
It's like one of those things that sounds a little cheesy, but if you got that text right now, wouldn't you feel awesome?
Yes.
Like, yes.
Right. And I think Megan can attest to the fact that you never get grow out of needing to hear that.
No, I know. That's so true. Like, I would really like, I'd like my kids to tell me that, but they don't do that for me. So, yeah.
Okay. Do we have somebody else?
Do we have one more?
Okay. Yes. I'm Danielle. I have an almost 7-month-old, so I still feel like I am a new mom, and I was just in new mom school, so that was a huge help. I'm not one to ask for help normally, and I used to cringe when people would say, "Hey, let me know if I can help you with anything." Not, "Hey, I'm going to do this in 2 weeks." I'm not going to call you and say, "Hey, remember that time you said, can you help me with fold my laundry? Like, I have a load of laundry right now and I need help." Like, I'm not going to do that. So it sat there and I didn't call. And then they always said, like, "Oh, you never called. You could have come over." And so now, consciously, I think about that. And then along the same lines, now I'm shopping at Sprouts and wherever, and I think, "Oh, next time my friend has a baby, I'm going to make them muffins in the morning so they're not hungry in the morning when they wake up from feeding." So just little things to think about even before it's necessary.
Yeah.
But that, don't say, "What can I mean, don't say, when you need help, call me." Just do it.
Very good.
Thank you.
The more specific and the less they have to think about it, the better.
And we like women especially, we worry about stepping on somebody's toes or like knowing your place. I feel like this is a time where we can
let that go.
What's the
bit.
Worst case scenario someone feels like you overstepped your bounds? I just feel like most of us are probably not that type of friend.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's you know who to go to.
Yeah.
You know who the people, your people are that you can go to. And if you don't have those people, then text the person that you texted earlier and make that person become your person.
Okay, so one or two more from the Facebook thread and then I think you can probably wrap up. But Jess O'Donnell, a listener of ours, said she wished someone had told her not to Google everything. So, and I think we were talking earlier about like being that friend that someone can text with questions or advice. I know I was that for my sister-in-law, Brian's sister, and I felt really good about being that person. And just like you said with your friend, it's like, I'm not an expert. I'm definitely not a medical professional, so definitely ask your doctor. But here's what I know about my babies, especially with high fevers, and here's what happened. And if you can save them from Googling,
yes,
you can be the friend that can
that
save
just
them.
Blocks that. Yeah. That if that's your
yeah.
only
and
thing
I,
you
and
do.
Again, I come back to the support groups and the support classes. I think when you're a new mom and you can be around a variety of different, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. The more you can sort of enrich your circle with a wide range of normal kids yes. who are developing normal, kids who are developing later, who have special needs, moms who have great postpartum experiences, moms who have really tough ones, the more you see the wide range of what's yeah. normal. When you're alone with Google, it's not pretty. Like you're only reading about either the extremes or what's supposed to be normal. And yep. both can send you spiraling. So I don't know exactly how that relates to how we can help new moms, except that
I think one thing that you could do, if there's a resource or like a book that you have that crosses or that strikes that balance between super reassuring but also informative when you need it, buy like 10 copies of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And just have it in your house and give it, like, that's your baby gift, or that's your, I just met someone
yeah.
at the park and I'm going to give you this book because I love this book, and don't read anything else. Like, start here, and you don't need to go to the bookstore and buy 20 parenting books, because yeah. this one will get you where you yeah. need to go. And we've talked about that before. Yeah. You know, resources aren't bad.
Right.
It's just using them discerningly and in moderation.
Yeah.
And not just overloading
yourself.
And
in combination
with
your own instincts.
Exactly.
Which are hard yep. to trust when you're brand new.
Good books will help you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or good resources will yeah. help you do
Absolutely.
That. Yeah.
So should we wrap up our show? How do we usually wrap up our show?
I know you'd like, you kind of tell us
I
that
do.
We're done.
I do it. We're done.
You say something like, well, I think that we have to wrap up now. And I just kind of stop.
So we will remind our listeners to visit our website, which is themomhour.com. For those of you here with us, if you haven't been there, that's where you find there's a blog post that goes along with every podcast episode. You would go there, look for this episode, and then we'll link to everything we talked about here. We'll, yep. of course, put some pictures of this event, and the show notes for this one will probably be a little different and fun.
Yeah.
Want to thank all of our swag bag donors, our food and beverage sponsors, and Alex and Taryn from the New Mom School and the Daily Method. For hosting us.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all I got. We're always back every Tuesday with a new podcast episode.
We are. So thanks, right. guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for coming.